Welcome to another edition of the Exo News Bulletin Podcast, where we present the audio version of bullet points posted on the exonews.org website, summarizing a recent UFO or extraterrestrial-related internet article. I'm Duke Brickhouse, Chief Editor of the Exo News. Be sure to like the show, subscribe, comment, and share. Today's article is from February 10th, 2020, entitled, What Scientists Could Learn from Alien Hunters. It was originally posted on the Wired.com website. For a link to the original article, visit exonews.org. Astrobiologists use telescopes to seek biochemical evidence of microbes on other planets. SETI scientists use telescopes to look for intelligent beings' technological signatures. Then there are those who believe that intelligent extraterrestrials are here, now, buzzing the skies of planet Earth. The respective members of these three groups of alien hunters do not necessarily get along with one another. Their interactions demonstrate a concept that sociologists call boundary work, e.g., building fences and enforcing ideas about who counts as a scientist and who doesn't. This boundary, however, is subjectively based on social mores, social fears, and politics. People who find themselves on the outside of mainstream science often foster a sense of antagonism. But the line of demarcation as to what is outside of mainstream science shifts with time. Science's ideas about which ET-seeking methods are valid and which are fringy have changed over the past few decades. In the early years, astrobiologists and SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, worked together. Perhaps those microbes on a far-off planet evolved and built radio transmitters. But then, their respective disciplines parted ways. In order to study the conditions of life on other planets, astrobiologists tend to study conditions on this planet, drilling into frozen lakes, doing lab experiments, studying geological evolution, researching our genetics. They use this data to determine which exoplanets have the best chance for evolving life forms. SETI, on the other hand, search for electromagnetic transmissions and signatures of technologies that are not yet understood. In the early 1970s, NASA and the National Academy of Sciences considered SETI an important component of the search for extraterrestrial life forms. Then politicians such as Senator Richard Proxmire denounced SETI as a wasteful, useless, and futile endeavor. Congressional funding of SETI's high-resolution microwave survey in the early 1990s was cut off in 1993. The National Science Foundation banned SETI projects from its funding portfolio. Grant opportunities dried up. NASA and mainstream astrobiologists began to distance themselves from SETI. In the 2000s, SETI turned to private investors like Paul Allen and Yuri Milner and became associated with searching for little green men and UFOs. The mainstream considered SETI laughable pseudo-research outside the bounds of proper science. And at the same time, astrobiology became a legitimate science. Astrobiologist Sarah Seeger told Congress in 2013, "We're not looking for aliens or searching for UFOs. We're using standard astronomy." But SETI scientists have been clawing their way back to legitimacy. In April 2018, Congress directed NASA to start including searches for technosignatures in its broader search for life beyond Earth. The House Appropriations Committee is deciding whether SETI's work will be sanctioned in the 2020s. One thing that both legitimate astrobiologists and SETI have in common is that they both consider ufology silly. They keep their distance from anyone who believes in UFOs or an extraterrestrial presence. But for someone at SETI who imagines light years away microbes growing into sentient beings that broadcast radio waves and beam lasers, is it that much harder to imagine these beings traveling here to Earth? Mainstream academic researchers claim that virtually no hard UFO data exists beyond personal accounts. Ufology doesn't explain how or why alien spaceships could or would come all the way here. Then there are the standard variety of banal explanations for bogus UFO sightings. Ufology is not science in the way SETI researchers do science. Greg Agigian, a Penn State researcher, points out that from the early 1950s through the 1970s, a number of academics took the study of UFOs seriously and regularly engaged with ufologists. Back then, the military had official UFO research programs, even though their conclusions usually amounted to nothing to see here. Those programs ended. The Air Force-sponsored 1968 Condon Report included that studying UFOs was a waste of time, and UFO research was consigned to the fringes. In 1983, Thomas F. Guerin published his paper, Boundary Work and the Demarcation of Science from Non-Science. When researchers do boundary work, they create and maintain lines around who qualifies as a scientist and who doesn't, and what is and what is not science. In so doing, they bestow legitimacy onto themselves and deny it to others. But this can backfire on them. When the public perceives scientists arbitrarily establishing exclusive scientific authority, people themselves feel alienated, fostering conspiracy theories about the mainstream scientists' true motives. Similar to anti-vaccination activists, GMO no-goers, and people who say climate change has nothing to do with people, many ufologists have decided that scholars and politicians are, at best, narrow-minded, or at worst, engaged in a deliberate attempt to hide information. Psychologist Stuart Appel wrote that ufology is not simply rejected as a legitimate discipline, it is categorically dismissed. Rejection suggests a conclusion based on close examination and careful reflection, but dismissal is a judgment that close examination is not warranted at all, which is not very scientific. This silencing is a form of social stigmatization. Adam Dodd, a communications instructor at the University of Queensland in Australia, sees mainstream scientists' dismissal of the UFO phenomenon as saving face in order to maintain their reputation among their own peers. An example of this is when Stephen Hawking concluded that the absence of any evidence of aliens essentially equates with the evidence of the absence of aliens. And therefore, for a true scientist, UFOs and aliens are not worthy of consideration. This boundary work by mainstream scientists is both frustrating and patronizing to UFO researchers who find themselves outside of the mainstream fence. They suspect a mainstream agenda is being formed against them. Ufologists become mistrustful of so-called experts, while the mainstream regards UFO followers as cranks. So they each band together to create an us versus them scenario and keep their distance from each other. Scientists cannot afford the professional consequences of being associated with fringe ufologists. As a consequence, science probably loses out on the kernels of truth in the nut bin. The thing that both sides generally have in common is the desire to get to the truth. But with the elitist scientists' blanket denial of all that is lumped together as fringe conspiracy theories, these hard science practitioners also tend to ignore cultural knowledge, emotional knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and personal knowledge. Their plotting and myopic focus on hard science may slow the rate of scientific achievement. Today, mainstream science seems to be more willing to embrace SETI. In 2014, SETI astronomer Jill Tarter received radio astronomy's highest honor, the Jansky Lectureship Award. And this is slowly expanding into the field of ufology. The chair of the Harvard Astronomy Department has publicly suggested that the asteroid Oumuamua could be a visiting spaceship. A NASA scientist notes that both SETI and ufology are about finding the signal in the noise. There may be signals, however small, that indicate a phenomena associated with UFOs that cannot be explained or denied that should be taken into consideration. Rather than dismissing the research of particular fringe group outright, scientists might listen. If so, the reaction by the fringe might be to consider mainstream expert analysis more. There can be important truths revealed from both sides of the spectrum.
This has been an Exo News Bulletin with Chief Editor Duke Brickhouse. Visit our website at exonews.org. Subscribe to this podcast. Exo News is sponsored by the Exopolitics Institute, a U.S.-based 501c3 nonprofit educational organization.